Definitely a lot of buzz about Man of Steel, one of the big movies of the summer. And in an unusual twist, I saw it in the theaters. I haven't seen a lot of movies in theaters the last handful of years, but saw this one.
From the ladies' perspective, Superman is super hot, and for that fact alone, you should go see it. Although he doesn't have his shirt off nearly as much as I would have liked, but he is still very, very cute. And apparently he's a British actor, which explains why when you see his teeth, they're a little crowded in his mouth, but you don't hear his British accent at all.
Henry Cavill, I think his name. I don't know how to pronounce it. Yeah, that's the actor. Okay, so the female audience or a good portion of it is gonna be sold on this movie there. Okay, and then there's a guy that played the villain, Michael Shannon.
Yes, he was a good villain.
Do you think? I thought he did a pretty good job. I thought maybe there were some people that were saying, like, you know, like, and maybe it was a kind of a one-dimensional villain, but I didn't think it was as one-dimensional as a lot of movie villains. I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, he was a bad guy, but almost, like, programmed to be bad, you know? So, like, you had a little bit of empathy for him, and he was just doing what he thought was right based on the society that he was built in. So you feel maybe a little bit sorry for him. You see his, you know, naivete a little bit in his thinking.
Yeah.
And so he comes off as a bad guy. I actually think that woman, part of his posse, she was kind of mean and nasty. But, you know, just kind of like that more kind of like kick-ass kind of, I'm going to be a little bit more mean.
Out front.
Yeah, but, you know, the story behind it where, you know, he was, you know, defending his planet and he was doing whatever he thought he needed to do to defend it. So there's, you know, different kinds of bad guys, like, and there wasn't a lot of evil with him, but I don't know. Well, how would you describe that? That kind of bad guy-ness?
Well, I guess they made him a more sympathetic bad guy or villain or whatever than a lot, because there was the turgid and indecisive establishment of Superman's home planet that didn't do anything and harvested the core, quote unquote, I think is what they were saying. So they depleted their own planet, and then he wanted radical action to be taken, and he was like their chief of staff of the army or something. So he decided to try to try to coup, right? And then in all that chaos, Superman's father, played by Russell Crowe, and his mother, they sent Kal-El or Superman to off, and they had this storyline about how there was a codex that had the names and purposes of all the people about to be born, because they used artificial out of extra vitro fertilization techniques to grow kids, and there was a codex of who they were and what they were going to do, because everyone in that planet is destined, they're planned to do something from birth in this system. And Superman's parents rebelled against that, Kal-El or whatever, his parents, right? And but for some reason they embedded the codex information into Superman's genetics.
Yeah.
So that's why they were after him, because they needed his DNA to harvest the information back. So that's why Zod, played by Michael Shannon, was the was on a insane quest to capture Superman.
Yeah, and it was definitely insane. Like, I would say the last half to two-thirds of the movie was this epic fight scene. And what was really cool is, because Superman's power is like this sort of super strength, when, you know, and I think everybody on that planet looks like they have that, when they would punch somebody, they'd go through like five buildings. And so five buildings would have to explode and crash. And, you know, we didn't see it in 3D. I guess there's a 3D option and an IMAX version, but we can only imagine that there would be a lot of shrapnel and everything flying.
That's all
it
would
you.
Be for the whole time, right? Like, yeah. I think there's a lot of action just up on the screen.
There's a part where Amy Adams, who plays the reporter, I forget her name.
Oh, Lois Lane.
Yeah. She sort of like, she's out in this frozen tundra and she discovers, you know, Superman's father by placing the little Superman on, like, it looks like it's graphite into something. So she sees things, which I thought was, you know, being a lady again, she did not look cold, and it looked really cold outside, and there was not a shiver or a puff of frosty air coming out of her mouth. So I fault them a little bit for the realism of that, although, again, it is a Superman movie. But, you know, if she's going to be out in the freezing cold, and, you know, all she had was a jacket on, and, you know, Stabler from Law and Order says it's going to be minus 40 degrees or whatever, you know, girlfriend better have on some hat and gloves for me to believe that she's really out there. But he was in there as like an army general, right? Lieutenant Stabler.
Stabler,
as he's going to forever be known to me.
One of the actors from Law and Order SVU, right? The guy that plays Stabler, he was official, in the military.
Yeah,
he played, right? Yeah. The movie, like, it definitely had like a theme of like the way that the homeworld, Zod and Kal-El's homeworld was set up, and then the way that Superman's Kal-El's parents like rebelled against that, you know, that has like kind of a, it had sort of like a anti-eugenics message. I think people are talking about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of stories as of late about controlling the population, and this kind of actually reminded me too of Plato. You know, and this whole idea that there's the warrior class and there's the ruling class, and this whole idea that you are of a certain class and you're born into a certain class and you will always be of that class. And, you know, they kind of ask the question, like, what if, you know, a child wants to do or be something else? And it's just really creepy that, you know, there's even a conversation going around about eliminating people and eliminating populations. And we've heard about it in China. Yeah. You know, for a long time, and I think we're hearing about it in America, in the form of vaccinations, kind of trying to control things in that way.
Yeah, you know, when you look, we've talked, I think we mentioned that John P. Holdren guy on the podcast before, and then, you know, there's a lot of these kinds of people that have talked about the curbing population. I think it's a really dangerous idea, and it's not really in line with logic, because the population stabilizes as countries develop.
Right.
So what we need is to develop countries. It's about development. It's not to make people content to have more industrial world level of kids. It depends on who you're arguing with. If it's a developing country, people are talking about, you know, population numbers. But also, like, a lot of countries, especially in like Western Europe, they have incredibly low, birth rates. Here's Bill Gates, right? This is like one of the richest people in the world.
First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people.
All right, hold on. Let me get back that in a good volume.
First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services. We could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
$10 billion a year.
Well,
what does that mean exactly?
Well, over this decade, we believe
this is unbelievable. Different interview here, I think.
Both inventing new vaccines and making sure they get out to all the children who need them. We could cut the number of children who die every year from about 9 million to half of that if we have success on it. And the benefits there in terms of reducing sickness, reducing the population growth, it really allows
Screw
society
you.
I mean, you hear it right there, right? From a guy who's got billions of dollars, and he's convincing actually other people with a lot of money to get involved in his causes too. And those are his causes.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, you know, where that decrease of the population is going to happen, and who's going to decide, and you know, that just opens up a whole big, you know, scary conversation about why certain people deserve to live, and I just don't believe that humans have the right to make that decision.
Yes, who is to make that decision? What human is to decide? You know, it's like, you know, we've talked about that internet people blog and the OKC gold mine, its predecessor, and there's a lot of those idiots on there that talk, that they ask a question, like kind of a gotcha question, I guess, but about, I think on some of the surveys, because they show their answer to it on these photos a lot, they'll ask, should the least intelligent half of the population, the less intelligent half of the population, not be allowed to reproduce or something like that? And people will say yes to that. First of all, like, I'm sure a lot of these people are in that group.
That's the irony, I think. Posting it is, you know, how can you even think this? And then you're probably in that group, buddy.
But it speaks to a much more deeply disturbing, you know, kind of set of attitudes, right? Well, speaking of disturbing attitudes, the villain in Superman did a reading of the sorority letter, and I played the Allison Hayeslip, I think, reading of it, which was also really good. But this one is excellent. The Michael Shannon reading of that sorority letter from a few months ago or so.
Just open this like I told you to. Tie yourself down to whatever chair you're sitting in, because this email is going to be a rough fucking ride. For those of you that have your heads under rocks, which apparently is the majority of this chapter, we have been fucking up in terms of nighttime events, general social interactions with Sigma. If you're reading this right now, saying to yourself, OMG, Becca, I've been having so much fun with my sisters this week. Then punch yourself in the face right now so that I don't have to fucking find you on campus and do it myself. You have 361 days out of the fucking year to talk to sisters, and this week is not. I fucking repeat, not fucking one of them. This week is about fostering relationships in the Greek community, and that's not fucking possible if you're gonna stand around and talk to each other and not our matchup. Newsflash, you stupid fucking cocks! Frats don't like boring sororities. Oh, wait,
disaster.
Double fucking newsflash. Sigma Nu is not going to want to hang out with us if we fucking suck. Which, by
no
the way,
way,
in case you're an idiot and need it spelled out for you, we fucking suck so far. This also applies to you little shits that have talked openly about post-gaming at a different frat.
Why?
In front of Sigma Nu brothers. Are you people fucking retarded? That's not a rhetorical question. I literally want you to email me back telling me if you're mentally slow so I can make sure you don't go to any more nighttime events. If Sigma Nu said, yeah, we're going to invite Zeta over, would you be happy?
I don't think.
Would you? No, you wouldn't! So why the fuck Didn't do it, did I? First of all, you shouldn't be post-gaming out of the frats. I don't give a fuck if your boyfriend's in it. You don't go! You don't go! And you especially do fucking not convince other girls to leave with you.
Rebecca!
You say in your whiny little bitch voice to your computer screen,
I've been cheering on our sports team that all the sports. Doesn't that count for something?
No, you stupid fucking asshats! It fucking doesn't! Do you wanna know fucking why?
Doesn't count because you've been fucking up at sober fucking events too!
For example, being stupid shits and saying stuff like, yeah, what's kickball? Well, it's time someone told you,
no one fucking likes that! I fucking cunt-punch the next person I hear doing something like that, and I don't give a fuck if you SOR me. I will fucking assault you.
If this email applies to you in any way, meaning if you are a little asswipe that stands in corners at night, or if you're weird shit that does weird shit during the day,
can you do me a big favor?
This following message is for you.
Do not go to tonight's event!
Okay.
I'm not fucking kidding! Don't go!
If you're one of the people that have told me, oh no, boo-hoo, I can't talk to the boys, I'm too sober, then I
don't think that's
because
possible.
I don't know how you got this far in life, and with that in mind, don't fucking show up. Unless you're going to stop being a goddamn cockblock for our chapter. Seriously, I swear to fucking God, if I see anyone being a goddamn donor at tonight's event, I will tell you what. Even if you're sober. And for those of you who are offended at this email, I apologize, but I really don't give a fuck. Fuck
yourself. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good performance, I think.
Yeah. I'm on the other side of the computer, but I think there's a video of that, right?
Yeah, yeah, you can find a link to that video of him reading that letter in the show notes at djmcloud.com. Look for podcast number 94. We'll be back after this break. This is djmcloud.com podcast with me, Dan McKeown, recording June 20th, 2013. And today, unlike the last couple episodes, we are joined by the lovely Jessica.
Thank you.
So there is a new feature to Instagram. You've been trying it out the last couple minutes.
I did. I took a video of you, and it's about 15 seconds, which is the limit.
Hello.
No doubt.
How's it going? Good. What are you doing?
I'm making a podcast, and I'm just seeing all these stories and thinking, fuck.
So that was the audio from my video, and if you want to check it out on Instagram, my name is Mick Jaguar, MCJAGUAR. But it's pretty cool. I like it. I saw a little photo of Instagram shooting Vine with blood all over Vine, like this is going to kill Vine, and I don't know. I mean, I think Vine might still have its space. I think Vine Peak, is that the website?
Yeah. It had to change its name URL-wise. Well, maybe they just got concerned about trademark. It's called VPeaker, but it's still, like, it's, I mean, URL-wise, so VPEEKER.com, and you can, when it's working, which is usually, it plays like random
shoe
Vine videos. So this is a, you know, somebody showing their shoe closet.
The thing about Vine is the sort of auto repeat, which makes this video into this sort of uber animated GIF, right? But I think it's very cool that there's video for Instagram. I think people are either gonna love it or hate it, but I think it's very competitive. And I think I did a search for like Insta video and just video, and there's like 20,000 videos. And it just, I think, was released today. Correct? Yeah, I think just released today.
Just came out very recently.
And already, you know, tons of people are getting involved. I think Vine really set them up for success. And they're like, sweet, I'm already on Instagram. I love this platform. Now I can do both.
Yeah.
Right now we have like the stupid stage of people are like, oh, I can make a video. I don't know what to make a video of. Just like when Twitter started and people were like, I'm going to the bathroom, you know. That's where we are right now. And, you know, eventually we'll get 15-second movies. And now there was another video service that had 15 seconds.
Yeah, I used Vidi for a little while. And then there was Social Cam, which ended up being bought by AutoCAD, or the company that does AutoCAD. But, yeah, there have been some other similar sites. But I think this, yeah, the Instagram video is fairly similar to Vidi because it has 15-second limits and it has some filters, right? Which same thing with, like, Vidi. So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure, like I guess, I think Vine had gotten pretty cool, right? It gotten pretty trendy and people were doing these 6-second videos. And like you said, when you watch a single video on the site, it'll repeat. And so it has that comparability to an animated GIF. And it had sort of like, it had some of the appeal of an app like Cinegram. But I think for a lot of people, it was easier to just make a short 6-second video that repeated well, right? And so, yeah, you could match up the visual elements beginning and end and audio elements even beginning and end, and then have like a, you know, a good kind of flow where you have some kind of a similar start to the video than to the end of it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the fun of Vine is watching it on repeat. I think what I like about this Instagram video is you can do what you can do with Vine. So you can like hold down the record button, record a little bit, lift your finger up, go to another scene, record again, you know, and you can do that for 15 seconds. And then you can, if you want to delete, you can delete just the last one. I don't think, you know, you can only delete the last one. You can't like delete the third one unless, you know, you can't. I haven't tried that, but it's kind of nice if you wanted to get something in and it didn't work out, you can kind of, you know, redo. It basically gives you a redo. And the other thing is, the thing that I've seen in social media, people are like, 15 seconds is so long. One, it's really not that long. And two, you don't have to use all 15 seconds. So you can do a 6-second video just like on Vine. You can do a longer one like on Vidi. You can do a 10-second one. So I think it's a really smart, powerful move. And with summer coming up and, you know, people out and about, and you know, it's a good prime time to launch something and take video. So be interesting to see how it goes. And the Facebook integration, I didn't push my first one to Facebook. I like to give, you know, selective content to my Instagram followers, but be interesting to see how many streams of Facebook are filled tomorrow with little videos.
For sure. You know, there's a lot of indications that Instagram, I'll let this interview on the Vlad TV YouTube channel with Fabulous speak for itself.
Don't go hard on Twitter anymore, it seems.
Nah, and I think Twitter kind of died down a little bit. It's not as, you know, remember then it was trending topics, and I used to do the trending topics, and it just seemed like it was more attention and audience and everything. But Instagram kind of came, and, you know, people just want Instagram pictures and stuff. That's all they want. You know what I mean? That's all everybody yes. wants.
I mean, honestly, like, the whole thing with you and Ray J, we started off with
yeah, so, I mean, I'm just saying, that's just a little snippet that's relevant, and I'm talking about other music stuff, but...
Well, I mean, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So while Twitter is limited to 140 characters and you can include a photo, you can't include a video yet on Twitter.
Yeah.
They're totally filled up with advertising, which is just its utter downfall. And again, people are just going to move slowly away from places where they're like, hey, we're just going to put some advertiser in your stream and we're going to make sure that the advertiser is relevant to what you're searching and talking about. It's like, it doesn't matter, Twitter. Nobody wants advertising on their social spaces unless you are a cool brand who actually shares good content, and then people will just follow and like you because you're cool and you do cool things. And there are brands out there like that, you know, but like Home Depot or something, you know, it's like, I don't know. I probably shouldn't talk bad about Home Depot, but I'm just trying to think of something that, like, you know, if I was talking about getting nailed. No, we should just stop.
Yeah, no question.
But I mean, like, you know, you were talking about getting nailed and here's Home Depot talking to you now. You know, like, there's just so many, like, wrong contextual things that could happen with that. And I don't know. I mean, I think he's right. You know, Twitter is not cool anymore.
Yeah, people move on to the latest trend pretty quickly, right? For sure. You know how, like, we were in the South recently, and there's apparently those Waffle Houses that we would go by all the time. Like, a lot of places just have signs that say Waffle House, but a lot of those are part of this chain. There's a really big chain. It's just called Waffle House, though. So, there's this article here on Gawker about that. It's called, quote, "The Story of the 450-Pound Rapper Who Loved Waffle House Too Much," unquote. And the guy is a big dude who raps, and he really loves Waffle House, and he has the thing that he orders there with scrambled eggs and wheat toast and whatever. He has this album, or I don't know if it's like a demo or a mixtape or whatever, you know, and he's distributing it. So I'm not sure if he's charging, but he may have just been giving it out. But regardless, he's using it with, you know, on there is his artist name or whatever. But the thing just mainly says whiskey, weed, and Waffle House. So it has a bottle of Crown Royal, one of those marijuana leaves you see like on, you know, t-shirts or whatever. And then Waffle House, and buy on t-shirts, you know what I mean? It's just, it's always that exact seven leaf, like, you know, single, you know, branch plant, you know, like that's, but either way. So that's, those are the graphics he chose. And then he's got this music, and I think it's online. See, so we could like, you know, like, for example, this is In My Zone featuring Worm.
And the rapper's name is Jelly Roll.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jelly Roll.
Get this on bootleg. I'm great.
Everybody love a fat man. Everybody love a fat man.
Easy, big man.
I'm cheering for the fat man. They love fat man. Dream chaser, chasing that green paper. I wake up in the morning, I'm yawning, but still chasing. Woo! Sipping on some lean, blowing on some sourdough. Finally got my money right, feels like I won the Powerball. Talking about that Cali Kush, used to buy it by the bush. And I drove them white girls crazy, I feel like Tiger Woods. Bobby Boucher, couldn't even
That's
shoot straight. Now I'm in your girl mouth, more than some toothpaste. Before this rap thing, man, we really keep weight. Always about my business to come with a briefcase. Before I made it on an iPhone, I made it on a razor. Before I had a cell phone, I made it off a pager.
All right, well, so that's that dude. This thing.
General.
So the guy got a bit of a. He got some sanctions against it, like apparently, what do they say here? Like, it's a long story. He talks about, like, they talk about how a lot of rappers talk about Waffle House because a lot of rappers these days are from the South. Their legal firm, within a month of Weed, Whiskey, and Waffle House release, Waffle House legal firm whatever, some name, sent DeFord a cease and desist for infringing on the corporate trademark, thereby giving him 10 days to eradicate everything using the company's name and logo, unquote.
Wow.
So, I mean...
Instead of just, you know, like, being, like, whatever.
Right, because a lot of hip-hop artists reference the place, and it's known as a place to kind of hang out and maybe even kind of, you know, like, a kind of relaxed Southern vibe, talk to people, you know, like, people, you know, maybe, you know, have a little drink or smoke in the parking lot, you know, like, that's that kind of vibe. And, I mean, in this article, they have a picture of, like, two women that appear to be working there holding the CD, you know. So, it's just, it's pretty good stuff. Then, you know, there's this, there was a gun rights, quote unquote, heckler. So there was a pro gun control event in New Hampshire, and this guy had to just walk up. You saw this video, right?
Yeah, I did.
This guy just had to walk up on the guy who was giving the speech, who had lost a daughter to gun violence, and he was giving a speech and giving his side, and that guy just like approaches him in some really menacing way. And then he keeps, you know, provoking the cops. Like, it definitely is... I'm against, like, you know, tasing and stuff. That's stupid. But this guy, while he shouldn't have been tased, he should have just been restrained. It's still, like, he kept... I mean, he was really making a scene, right? Like, here's the audio. I think you kind of get a sense.
Was there as officers took him to the ground
in California.
I thought it would be Concord, California, because there are a lot of rednecks there, but it's actually New Hampshire.
David Musso interrupted a speech in favor of expanded background checks. Our Alex Sexton watched the entire altercation unfold and has our top story tonight.
Started as a rally against gun violence, but it attracted a very strong pro-Second Amendment crowd. Among that crowd was Daniel Musso, who is now facing multiple criminal charges, including simple assault against a police officer.
The names I delivered were the names of young people like my daughter Melissa. Sir, please have a little respect.
I have respect.
Thank you.
If you had this speech in your mind, you wouldn't have to read all this propaganda from you.
The confrontation started at the podium.
He just walked right up to the guy.
Daniel Musso interrupted a speech by John Canton of Manchester. Canton, who was wounded and lost his daughter in a shooting in 2009, was speaking in favor of expanded background checks on gun sales.
This is wrong. We're
talking about this.
After numerous interjections, Musso decided to walk away, but Concord police had already been summoned. When they started speaking with him, he initiated physical contact, triggering this. Officers struggled to subdue Musso for about a minute and a half before tasing him. Many in the counter-protest felt Musso did nothing wrong.
It wasn't an aggressive move at all.
The rally was part of a bus tour sponsored by Mayors Against Illegal Guns, which has made New Hampshire a battleground on the gun control issue by targeting Senator Kelly Ayotte, who voted against expanding background checks. Some in the gun rights crowd are calling the escalation of the counter-protest and the altercation with police unfortunate.
I don't condone what happened, but at the same time, you know, I still would encourage people to come out peacefully and have their say.
John Canton says he will not be intimidated.
People just need to be more respectful. Don't get so emotional about this. Everybody has a right to their opinion. We're all Americans. We should be able to express that.
Senator Kelly Ayotte's office released a statement tonight regarding her vote on this issue, saying, quote, Senator Ayotte voted for legislation that had bipartisan support to fix the current broken background check system, increase the prosecution...
Yeah, sorry, it's no good, but, you know, I mean, just these gun nuts, like, I mean, there's no, you know, there's really no end to them, just, you know...
Talk shit!
That's all they do. They just go to these, you know, I mean, they think, like, there's an absolute right to just have any weapon.
Yeah, and we've seen some crazy videos on YouTube of people that own weapons, and they just, like, go out into their backyard and shoot targets, and, for what, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but, and they show off, yeah, it's like a trophy. It's like they show off this cheap gun that they just bought, and then it's this big deal.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, and just a reminder.
Stay the hell away from wild animals.
Yes?
Simple. Just stay the hell away from wild animals.
Thank you very much.
Gosh, there's so many of you out there who just want to go touching everything.
Bull crap.
Keep your names to yourself. For instance, there's like 29 people right now who may possibly be infected.
All right, so anyway, she's just...
Somebody loves his soundboards.
I thought that was just a really good soundboard, a bite about the wild animals and stuff.
It's true.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't have much more. I think we're pretty much closing strong here, finishing out. But I just want to
What about your app, the music app?
Oh yeah! Oh, that's a great point.
No way!
I can't believe I forgot that. The Audio Bus, you know. So Audio Bus is an app that you can use to route sound in iOS. So you get Audio Bus, and then you can have an input app, like a keyboard app, like ArcticKey, Sunriser XS, DM1, Drum Machine. Then you have an app that it's you know, sending to, and then like GarageBand, and then you can have an effects app in between. And so we were just sending it without an effects app. We were sending ArcticKeys and Sunriser XS music to GarageBand. I think I'm going to use that as music in the next podcast. You were composing some stuff for me today.
So you have to tune in to lucky number 95.
Yeah, no question.
So I recommend checking out Audio Bus. It has recommendations for other apps that you can use to route through. But if you've been looking to take audio from a cool app, like one of the cool keyboard apps or drum machine apps, but you want to push it into a track in GarageBand, in iOS GarageBand, I mean, this thing's really cool. And one little thing about iOS 7, Apple says they're actually going to support inter-app audio of some sort. So some sort of parallel functionality that might be like Audio Bus. And now Audio Bus will probably do something a little different, and there'll probably still be a niche for it. But apparently Apple is going to make this like more of a standard feature. But in the meantime, so you can kind of see the future by getting Audio Bus and then, you know, getting a few of those other apps. And, you know, I mean, it's a little bit of a music geek thing, but anybody who's into, you know, using this, you know, music composition apps on iOS would enjoy using it. And I would say iOS is a very populous platform, right, for music apps. Music apps are fairly reasonable, and you can do a lot with them, right, more and more. Because, like, when we made a couple albums, especially the second one, like, we started a few of those songs on iPad and iPhone, but then we would move them onto the desktop GarageBand to finish them out. Now it's like you can get further and further along and do more and more just with that, you know, that. And then and they have stuff like the iRig and stuff that extends the device for recording and stuff like that. So, yeah, well, what did you think about the whole, about using Audio Bus?
I thought it was really cool. I made a couple little jams, and I think it's just so awesome how they've taken these big technical sort of real-world things and turned them into these sleek apps where you can pull data from one place and pass it on to another without having to have a bunch of, you know, devices and, you know, the technology's just right in the palm of your hand. Just really cool.
For sure. Yeah. Awesome. Well,
look out that window.
I know, you've been wanting to use that one.
Agent Smith doesn't say anything that's very soundboard worthy, but look out the window, it's kind of funny.
You never know what you're going to see when you look out the window.
That is true. That's definitely cool of you to remind me about that app. I think now we can go out on a little bit of Alex Jones and Bobcat sounds.
Sounds good.
So thanks for listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast, episode number 94. And, you know, we will see you next time as we count to 100.
Woo!
Yes?
That's right, they didn't get you to
should have told all my reporters, you can do whatever you want this week, because they have so much freedom, but do something on Superman, whatever angle you want. And then they were, I'm just giving you total transparency, the thought process here. And then I was telling them this yesterday, and they go, like, what? Well, will Superman join the NSA? Is it right that Superman turns bad and starts looking through walls at women in the shower?
I don't really
know. We got a graphics department. Go put it together, do it. Somebody will do it now. I'm announcing it on air. I don't care if somebody else does it. Boom, that's a viral story right there. Tie Superman to the NSA scandal.
What?
See, I don't even use one-tenth of what I know to dominate and take over media. With the
Who are you?
But that's the number one rule for alternative media, not just
Bull
our operation,
because
we're all in this together. I'm not in competition with people.
Bull crap.
Hijack globalist media. Hijack it. Because they don't have any power in news anymore. They're a shadow of themselves when it comes to what they report on. Almost no one believes them, and those polls are out. Their share is shrinking, but they still have massive, massive, massive attention.
I don't really know.
When it comes to entertainment programs, TV shows, dramas, sitcoms, Hollywood movies and things.
Video games.
And when you go see a major action adventure movie, or you go turn on a cop show, or a drama show, or a hospital show, or you go, I mean, I've seen, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, I forget, just the last few months, new video games come out. Every shoot 'em up military game I've seen, from Rainbow Six to you name it, you're fighting militias. It's our listeners that point this out and send us screenshots. We go watch the trailer, do a report on it.
It's a joke.
I've even told the crew, buy some of these video game consoles so we can monitor this and show how the Kinect spies on us and uses wireless to scan through the walls. And oh, we can see you. Here's the Washington Times, by the way. Big Brother alert, cameras and cable boxes to monitor TV viewers. 17 years after I told you.
Goodbye, everybody.